You're listening to Words of Encouragement, the preaching ministry from the pulpit of the First Baptist Church of Winnsboro, Louisiana. I'm Pastor Craig Beeman. Hope. Hope. Today on Words of Encouragement.
This morning, we're looking at hope, talking about hope. We lit the candle of hope, and so that's what we're looking at this morning. Well, I hope that you feel good today. I hope your Christmas is going to be good. I hope I get to eat all the things I like to eat during the holidays. I hope. I hope that your family makes it to your house or you make it to your family's house, whatever you're doing this year. Some people move to go to grandma's house, and then sometimes grandmama goes to your house or however that works for you. But there'll be a lot of people on the road, and I do hope that they make it and make it safely. Merriam-Webster defines hope as to cherish a desire with anticipation. To cherish a desire with anticipation. To want something to happen or to be true. I thought that was very interesting. Hope. We think of hope, and that's kind of where we go, to want something to happen or be true. Oh, I hope this all works out. Oh, I hope that it's a good day. I hope that, our audiovisual stuff works as it should. I hope. And we hope about a lot of things in our lives, a lot of situations. We put our hope, and we hope. But that kind of hope. That kind of hope is different from having a calm assurance that something will happen or be true. Do you catch the difference? I mean, I hope the Saints win today. I mean, you know, I just hope they do, but I don't know that they do. I don't have a calm assurance that they will. I mean, you know, I don't have a calm assurance about that. I hope in the way that we talk about hope is the way I hope they win. But this hope that the Bible talks about, this hope is the calm assurance that something will happen. Catch that. The calm assurance that something will happen or be true. Now, it's like your best friend. Look, I'm going to come pick you up at 11 o'clock. We're going to lunch. It's your best friend. You have that calm assurance. They're going to show up. They're going to take you. They're going to get you out there. You're going to go to lunch. I mean, it's going to happen. There's a calm assurance because there's a trust in that friend. A calm assurance that something will happen or be true. Today, I want us to look at the eternal hope of God. If you are able, I'm going to ask that you stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. Verses 36 and 37. The Bible tells us, "And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayers." May God bless the reading of His Word. I invite you to be seated. We need to set the stage for what we're going to talk about this morning first. At this point, Joseph and Mary and the baby Jesus have made it to the temple. They've made it to the temple. Simeon greets them. Simeon blesses the baby Jesus. And he uses these words to describe Him. Listen to these words. "A light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." You want to talk about prophecy? That's prophecy right there. Jesus coming for the Jews. Jesus, God's people, coming for God's people. But here Simeon says these words, "A light of revelation to the Gentiles." So even those who are outside of the called people of God, the chosen people of God, even those outside of that family, if you will, of faith, if you will, Jesus has come for them too. Jesus has come for them too. And so Simeon blesses the baby Jesus. He says these words, and then Anna steps up. Well, now who is Anna? Who is she? Well, according to verse 36, we see she is a prophetess. Well, that tells me a lot, Brother Craig. What does that mean? I mean, way to go. That's what she is. Okay, well, great. That's almost, you know, that's almost like saying you're an anesthesiologist, although most of us have figured out what that is today. And I still say, sometimes I should receive their pay because I can put people to sleep, and I didn't go to school all those years for that medical school business. But that's beside the point. But here we find she is a prophetess. She's a person, according to what we can understand, who spoke forth of the mind and the counsel of God. This is no small matter here. We do not know much, but what we do know, that questions are put and answers are issued as divine decisions or directions relating to specific situations. She is a prophetess. She is not a fortune teller, but there is a give and take. She is someone you could go to and ask some divine questions of, and she would have answers. The only time the word prophetess is used in the entire Gospel of Luke is right here to describe Anna. So she's something. She's of note. I mean, she's important. And Luke even brings her in. He describes what happened and what she did here. And so it's very important that we know who she is. Well, we see that she never left the temple. Now, some pastors are accused of never leaving the church. You know, they just live there at the church. By the way, I don't live at the church. Some of you know I don't live here. I spend a lot of time, but I don't live here. And a lot of people, you know, would say, well, you're a school teacher. Well, you live at the school. You're always going up to school. You know, and I think this is how this is used when it says, when Luke shares that she never left the temple. From what we can understand, there was not really a room for her to live. Some scholars feel maybe she did live near the temple. Maybe she even lived on the temple grounds, but we don't know for sure. But she was there a lot at the temple. She continued her role as a prophetess. She just didn't stop. She was just there, always available. So she's at the temple. She's there on that day when Joseph and Mary show up with the baby Jesus. We also find that she's of the tribe of Asher. Now that's interesting. Asher was the eighth son of, catch this, Jacob, the father of Joseph. His mother was Zilpah. He was the head of one of the tribes of Israel. So according to Moses' blessing, Asher would enjoy favor with his siblings, prosperity, and security. So Anna, it seems, has come from a good tribe. I mean, they're all tribes of Israel, but she comes from the tribe of Asher. The verse also informs us that she was advanced in years. Her age is emphasized by the Greek phrase that is used here. She was very old in her many days. Boy, that's a lot of emphasis on the age, isn't it? She was very old in her many days. Scholars are not sure if the latter part of verse 36, where it says she was advanced in years and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, they're not sure if this part about her being in verse 37, 84, and then as a widow to the age of 84. They think maybe she was 80. Some say she's 84 years old at this point. Some say it has been 84 years since her husband passed away. Not sure exactly. If it's been 84 years since her husband passed away, that means she's 105, which very well in that day could have been. Again, if it's up to me, this is one of those points where, you know what? Is this that important? but she's 84. She's lived. She's advanced in age. That's what we see. That's the point he's trying to make here. Look at the second part of verse 37, though. It says, serving night and day with fastings and prayer. She never left the temple. So many years she's been at the temple serving God. She is faithful to God. That's one thing we see here. She is faithful to God. She is a faithful woman of God. After the blessing of Simeon, she approached Mary and Joseph. And look at verse 38. At that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of Him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. So she gives thanks to God. What does she give thanks to God for? Well, obviously, I think it's pretty obvious, for Jesus. She is thankful. She sees who Jesus is. She understands who He is. She knows who He is. This is not just any baby that came in with mommy and daddy to get a blessing. No, this is Jesus. This is the one they've waited for and waited to see. So she continued to speak of Him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. I think we need to zero in on this phrase this morning, the redemption of Jerusalem, or the peace of Jerusalem, the redemption, actually, of Jerusalem. The word redemption here means salvation. Understood in terms of a redemptive act, especially understood through the buying back of a person, a redeeming of an object. Anybody ever taken something to a pawn shop? You take it there, you think, well, I'll get the money for it, and then later I'll get the money and come back and get it. Well, the risk is it won't be there when you come back. But the idea is to buy it back, to get that back. And this buying back, this redemption of Jerusalem, this is the buying back of a person effected through the death of Christ, which is the payment from the merited penalty of sin, the previous owner. The redemption of Jerusalem is another way of referring to the deliverance to be effected by the Messiah. So she had been praying, and many people had been looking for this redemption, this redeeming, this coming back of Jerusalem, this redemption of the people from Rome, and they wanted this. The meaning here appears to be she spake of Him to all them in Jerusalem that were looking for redemption. Others who were looking for this. Others who were hoping for this to happen. Others who were looking. And so here it is. And so she spoke to those who were looking. She said, look, He's here. He's made it. He's here. Saying in effect here that baby is wrapped up in all your expectations. If this took place at the hour of prayer, it would account for her having such an audience there that she could talk to. But it doesn't say they were there. We do not see that there were people there, but possibly there were if this happened at the hour of prayer. But Anna was there, and she was there to talk about it, and she was willing to talk about it, and she was ready to talk about it. She had hope for this baby. She had hope. Her hope of salvation, her hope of redemption was found in this Jesus, was found in Him. Anna held on to an eternal hope in Jesus. That's what I want you to see this morning. That's what I want you to grasp this morning. That's what I want you to understand. When you leave this building today, I want you to know that Anna had hope. An eternal hope in Jesus. That's where her hope was found. Where was Anna's hope found? In Jesus. In Jesus. In this little baby that came with its mama, with his mama and daddy to the temple on that day. Her hope was in this baby, Jesus. My second question is, do you hold on to an eternal hope? Do you hold on to an eternal hope? Or are you like so many people? Well, I hope they win. Well, I hope this works out. Oh, well, I hope this Jesus stuff works out for me on the day that it happens and all comes down and the end of the world and all that kind of thing. Oh, I hope it all works out. Is that the hope you have? Because that hope won't work. Your hope must be in Jesus. Jesus alone. Not the preacher, not anything else, not anyone else. Oh, but brother pastor preacher, I love so brother so-and-so. I love doctor so-and-so. Well, I'm glad you do. But don't put your hope of salvation in them. Please do not. Your hope should be in Jesus. Redemption, what a word. What a word. The same word for redemption in the verse about Anna. Listen to this, the same word for redemption that is used in this verse about Anna is the same word found in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 through 12. Well, Brother Craig, what does that say? Well, let me tell you. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, He entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands. That is to say, not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through His blood, He entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. He went into the holy place and He obtained for you and for me eternal redemption. Man, this is, I mean, the eternal redemption. This isn't just, oh, I got saved and now my life's just a little bit better here while I'm on earth. No. This is eternal redemption. This is you have been forgiven of your sins forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And because you have, there is a place in heaven reserved for you. You have trusted in Him. You've trusted in Christ. This same Jesus in the temple as a baby has entered into the more perfect tabernacle that is not made with hands. I love the descriptions there. I love the Bible, how these writers put these words together. Not made with hands. Oh, no. No, it's a holy place made by God Himself. This same Jesus, through His shed blood at Calvary, has entered into the holy place of heaven one time for all of mankind. He did not go there until He had obtained redemption. He did not go there until He had obtained eternal redemption. He provided for us eternal hope, a hope that has assurance with it, a calm assurance. It's what I call a guaranteed hope. Because it's not, oh, I hope I will. Oh, I hope I go to heaven. I cannot tell you how much it galls me. I cannot tell you how much it bothers me when I hear somebody say, well, I hope I get there. I hope to get to heaven. We hope to get there, don't we? No. We don't hope to get there. We know we're going there because of what Jesus did for us and because we're trusting in what He did on the cross. We're hoping in Him. We're faithing in Him. It's not, oh, well, I hope it all works out in the end. Well, it's going to if you've trusted in Christ. No, God's children should live day to day hoping we get there when we leave. No, we should know. We should have a calm assurance inside of our soul and inside of our heart that we know we're going. Why? Because we've trusted in Jesus. Because of what He did for us on that cross. It's a guaranteed hope. In Scripture, hope is a confident expectation for the future, describing both the act of hoping and the object hoped for. When grounded in God, hope provides the motivation to live the Christian life even in the face of trouble. Let me say that again. That's good stuff. When grounded in God, hope provides the motivation to live the Christian life even in the face of trouble. Even in the face of trouble. Even in the face of a situation we didn't know was coming into our life. Even in a situation of ill health. Even in a situation of something that's happened in the family or in your individual family, you can still live the Christian life because your hope is not in the things of this world, it's in Jesus. And that's where we need to live, walking with Him, living with Him, listening to Him, allowing Him to guide our steps. Let me share this with you from the Holman Illustrated Bible Dictionary. It's their definition of hope. Trustful expectation, particularly with reference to the fulfillment of God's promises. I like that. Trustful expectation, particularly in reference to the fulfillment of God's promises. Look, if God has promised something, it's going to come through. It's going to be okay. It's going to happen. God's not going to promise something and then go, oh, well, you know what? I was just talking. I'm sorry. I just talked out of turn. God doesn't talk out of turn. Oh, well, God promises, you know, well, that's, yeah, I know He promises that in the Bible. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, I know the Bible says that, but, oh, man. This little Baptist heart starts going like that when I hear stuff like that. I know the Bible says that, but, oh, what does the Bible say? It says what it says, it means what it says. I mean, do we trust it or not? I mean, I just, that gets me. But the Bible, if God promises us something, it's going to happen. And we can have that trustful expectation that He will fulfill His promises. Biblical hope is a hope with assurance. It is a hope that whatever God says is going to happen will happen. And I don't know about you, but I like to know that I've got somebody I can talk to that when He says He's going to do something, He does it. And that when He promises something, He's going to follow through. I want to know that when God says He loves me, He means it and He's not going to change His mind. I need to know that. I have to know that. I need to know that. If the Bible is the Word of God, then we can trust it. If the Bible declares Jesus to be the Messiah, the Deliverer, then we can have a biblical hope in Him that He will one day deliver us. If the Bible declares Jesus to have obtained eternal redemption, then our hope is not displaced. Our hope in the salvation of our souls does not have to be something we carry with a load of hopeful doubt. Well, I hope so. Well, I don't know. I mean, No. We can rest assured that we have salvation. We have been forgiven. We do have a place waiting for us in heaven. If our hope is in Christ, then there's no room for doubt to enter in. It is assured to us by God Himself. God Himself guarantees it. And if God guarantees it, You know, I don't care what the FDA says. I don't care what the good housekeeping seal of approval, you know, if it's not stamped on myself. I don't care about all that. Because I know I can trust God. And if He says it, I believe it. And if He says it, if He guarantees it, well, then it's going to be okay. It's not going to change. It's not going to change. Anna held on to an eternal hope in Jesus. She held on to an eternal hope in Jesus, and she ran around telling people about it. Not a bad idea to go around and tell people about this hope in Jesus that we have. Not a bad idea to mention it every now and then. Not a bad idea to bring it up just at a really good, appropriate time to bring it up. And if you're looking, you're thinking, well, I just couldn't find an appropriate time, preacher. I just couldn't come up with an appropriate time. You know, I just never do. You know what? You can make one, too. You and I have great power in words. We can direct conversation. Ever tried to direct a conversation before? You started going downhill and you thought, oh boy, this is going nowhere. No. And you diverted the conversation to a happier, better place. We can do that. You and I can do that. We've done that. But we can do it with Jesus too. We can bring Him into the conversation. Well, that's why I trust in God. You don't have to preach, but that's why I trust in God, because I don't have faith in all this out here. But that's why I trust in Him. When you drop little things like that, people hear them. People hear it. And they begin to say, huh. wonder what's different. Do they really believe in that? I'm going to watch them. Yeah, you're going to set yourself up. You've already set yourself up. People know where you go to church. They know that you come here. They know how you act. They watch you. And they're wondering, do they mean what they say? Do they really believe in this hope that is Jesus? We have opportunities all around us. Are you holding on to the eternal hope that is only found in Jesus? Are you holding on to that eternal hope that is only found in Him? That blessed assurance that we have been forgiven of our sins if we've trusted in Christ, if we've put our faith in Him, our given our heart to Him, our lives to Him? Do we have that hope? I pray today that you have that hope. I pray you have that eternal hope inside of you. I pray that you rest easy at night. Even if things are going poorly, even if things are bad and you're looking at it thinking, oh, this world's a horrible place, you still have hope. You can still put your head on the pillow at night and say, but I've got hope in Christ. It doesn't matter really what happens in all this. I would love for things. I got my preferences. Oh God, I've got my preferences. I want this and this and this, and I want it to work out this way, and I want this. But you know what? If it doesn't all work out, guess what I do have? I've got hope in Christ. I've got a place in heaven prepared for me. I'm going to be with God Himself. I'm going to be so overwhelmed. I know me. I'm just not going to be able to talk when I get up there. I don't know what I'd say. I just don't know what I'd say. I'd be surprised to be in the presence of God. When it happens, I don't think I'm going to have any kind of pre-warning. I don't know. It may be a long, lingering death for me. I don't know what God has for me. But I know that when I get there, it's going to be glorious. And it's going to be perfect. And it's going to be God in the presence of Him. It's going to be in the presence of God Himself. I cannot wait. I cannot wait to see what that's going to be like. But I've got the eternal hope because I've trusted in Jesus. And that's my question this morning. Have you trusted in Christ? Have you put your heart in His hands? Have you given your life to Him? Have you made that decision? Do you realize that, yes, I am a sinner. I need to be forgiven. I want Jesus in my heart. I want God to be in control of my life. Maybe today you need to make that decision. We're going to stand in just a few moments here. Let's go ahead and stand. And we're going to sing, "In Loving Kindness Jesus Came." And as we sing this morning, if the Lord is leading you to come, would you do that? Would you come? I'll be standing right here at the front. No better day than today.
Truly, there's no better day than today to accept Jesus into your heart. I hope that you have the hope of Christ, the hope of a better tomorrow, the hope of having a place to go to when you leave this earth. You know, we're all leaving. We're all going to die. And that's some sobering news. It's not something we want to think about, but it's true. It's true. I hope you're ready. I hope you've made preparation. I hope you've asked Christ to forgive you, or God to forgive you of your sins, and for Jesus to come into your heart and to be in charge of your life. Would you give your life to Him? Would you repent of your sin? That means turn away from your sin and follow Jesus. That's all God asks us to do. It sounds simple, and at some points it is simple. It's simple, but it carries with it some difficulty. But look, with the help of God, you can do it. You can give your life over to Him. Would you do that? Remember, you can always tune in to KMAR if you're in the area, the local area of Winnsboro, Louisiana. Every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, you can hear the broadcast of the First Baptist Church of Winnsboro. You can also just continue listening to Words of Encouragement right here, and you'll catch every sermon that is preached from the pulpit right there at the First Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us for this time together on this podcast. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can always email us at fbcwboro.com or at gmail.com. That's fbcwboro@gmail.com. And we'd love to hear from you. Of course, you can always go to fbcwinsboro.com and you can find answers to most of your questions. Thank you for joining us for Words of Encouragement.